All right. Charles, you want to pray?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Lord, thank you so much for another day. The Bible says this is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it. Let us not take these days for granted, Lord, but let us just live in the joy of the Lord, having fellowship with you, and just looking out for others and those who need us. We pray that we could just get something out of the Word today, that you would open up our hearts. Anything we've done wrong, put it under the blood, Lord, and just speak to us this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. So, today, I'm going to be talking about David. So, I had called Carolyn. I was like, is there anything specific you want me to do or talk about? Or, like, what are you guys, you know, going on? And she said that you guys have kind of finished up a lot of other things. So I was just sitting there thinking, and I was like, you know what, Lord, you really have kept bringing up David to me. So I'm just going to go ahead and do that. And David is one of my most favorite people in the Bible for many, many different reasons. But I mean, obviously God called him a man after his own heart. I want that in my life. I want the Lord to be able to say that about me. But if you really look at it and read through and see his whole life, you know, from when he was a kid until he dies, he makes mistakes. He does things. He, you know, doesn't always make right choices. He, you know, he's just like us. But even in that, God still calls him a man after his own heart. And so I really just look at that and I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, that's who I want to be to you. But obviously I have to keep this in the time frame. So I'm just going to talk about three different things about David. And the first one is that David trusted God above all else. So obviously, so the thing, like, David's trust in God began at a very young age. You know, David was the youngest of eight brothers. And in 1 Samuel 17 is the battle against the Philistines with Goliath. And it didn't start out with David going. It started out with David's three eldest brothers going. And then David's dad's like, hey, you need to take food to your brothers. They're in battle. So David's like, okay, let me go ahead and do that. And it says in chapter 17 that he's in his youth when he's doing this. And, you know, so he sends him to take him there. And then when David gets there, Goliath starts talking about God and about the army of Israel, you know, and the rest of the nation of Israel is like, oh my gosh, look at him. He's so big. We can't fight him. It doesn't matter what he's saying. We're not going to do it. We can't do anything because we cannot fight him. And so David's response is in 1 Samuel 17, 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David did not care who Goliath was. He did not care how big Goliath was. And we have to imagine, this is a boy. This is somebody who is in their youth seeing this huge, massive giant who has killed who knows how many people, who has, you know, who the rest of the grown men there are scared of him. And David's like, what is wrong with you guys? Why are you letting him do this? And he's just a little boy, or he's in his youth. And, you know, and so, and he's in David, you know, David already had a run-in with being able to trust the Lord. In verse 17 of that same, or in verse 37 of that same chapter, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Okay, is that's the thing. The Lord had already shown David that he was going to protect him, that he was going to take care of him, that he was going to do this. You know, and then we all know how the story goes. David goes to battle and he kills Goliath with the slingshot and the stone. But again, David, as a young boy, he knew that he could trust God to protect him. He knew that God would take care of him and that he would guide him. And no matter what was in front of him, he could trust the Lord. And the thing is, most grown Christians don't even understand that. Most grown Christians who have had a lifetime of salvation, who have had a lifetime of experiences of the Lord taking care of them, of the Lord doing this, they still have fear and doubt. They still don't, the first thing that, you know, that should cross your mind is just like, David, okay, the Lord's going to take care of me. But we don't do that. We sit there and we are like, oh, well, what if this happens? Oh, well, what about that? Oh, well, what about this? Oh, no, no, I can't do that. That's not safe. Like, and so it's like, but do we trust the Lord or do we not? You know, and one of my most favorite verses is Psalms 56:13. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? If we can trust God to save our souls and to seal them, why can we not trust him in our daily lives? Why can we not just trust that he's going to take care of us and that he's going to come through? And so if you continue on reading in David's life, you can see that his trust in God obviously grows despite David's mess ups, which brings me to the next point, which is David wasn't afraid to admit his mistakes and accept the consequences of them. David, again, like I had said, he's no better than the rest of us, you know, but he makes his fair share of mistakes throughout everything. But the difference is how he responds to them. In 2 Samuel 11 is where the whole mess with Bathsheba, where David stays home from the battle. That's the first mistake that he makes. And then he commits adultery. That's the second mistake. And then he commits murder. That's the third mistake. Well, these are pretty big mistakes as we see them, okay? And in the Old Testament, he technically should have been killed for these mistakes. But in chapter 12, we see what happens next. And between chapter 11, which is the whole mess with Bathsheba, and then chapter 12, you know, enough time passes for Bathsheba to give birth to David's son. And after a while, because David doesn't admit what he's done, he doesn't get it right, he doesn't do any of that, but God sends Nathan to speak to David. And Nathan tells David a story about a rich man and a poor man and a little lamb. And well, the rich man ends up taking the poor man's one lamb and giving it in sacrificing or and giving it to somebody. And so, but the thing is, you know, and so then David's like, well, the rich man needs to die. Why did he do that? He shouldn't have ever done that. He shouldn't have been like that. And Nathan's like, you're that man. I'm telling a story about what you did. You did this. And so, because God had given David everything, and yet David still lusted after what he did not have. And I'm sure that sounds familiar to a lot of us because we do that. That's just human nature. We do that. So, but Nathan tells him that now his family is affected by the sin that he makes. Now there's always going to be violence. Now his own sons are going to be against him. All his wives are going to be taken away from him. Oh, and also God's going to make sure that all the nations and the whole nation of Israel is going to see all of this happen to him and know what's going on with him. So here's David's response, though, to it. And this is another reason why I love David so much. In 2 Samuel 12:13, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. There wasn't a time where he blames somebody else. There wasn't a time where he makes an excuse for what he did. There wasn't a time, you know, where he sits there and says, oh, well, what about this person over here? That person's worse than me. Why don't you do something to them? No, he just takes responsibility. You know, he just says, yes, I did this, Lord. You are right. And he accepts every single consequence that he has, that the Lord has given to him. He doesn't say, well, Lord, please just, can you just not take my wives away from me? Can you just not do this, Lord? Can you just not do that? No, he just accepts what his consequences are and he admits, I sinned. And also out of this story, you know, we get the amazing chapter of Psalms 51 where, you know, he actually goes and it's the right way, it's the correct way to really go to the Lord with forgiveness. But David then, David, I'm not going to kill you, but I am going to kill your son. Your son is going to die. And at this point, David does, you know, try to make a request unto the Lord to not have his son die, but he goes about it the right way. You know, he does ask the Lord and he says, I don't know if the Lord's going to give grace unto me or not, but his son does end up dying. And you know what happens? The instant his son dies and he finds out, David's like, okay, Lord, you had that happen for a reason. This is what needed to happen. And he accepts it and understands why it happens. You know, and can any of us honestly say that we are like that? Can we honestly sit there and say, even if we don't show it on the outside, even if, you know, when we're confronted with something that we've done or a choice that we've made or something we've said or anything like that, Can we honestly sit there and say that not even in our hearts do we have a bad attitude? No. Most of the time, I know for me too, like, I sit there and I'm like, well, Lord, I had a bad, even though I said the right thing, I still had a bad attitude about it. And you know what? The Lord knows. The Lord knows every single thing that's in our hearts, because we cannot hide the truth from him. So then the third point is the fact that David was a leader. There's certain characteristics that a person has to have in order to be able to be a good leader. You know, we also have to remember that just because we say we're a leader does not mean that we are a leader. You know, being a leader consists of setting the example first and then having people see that and then choosing to look to you. You know, being a leader means that you have to stand for what is right. Sometimes you have to say things and make hard decisions that not everybody is going to like, but you still have to do it. It means taking responsibility for the things you do, good or bad. Being a leader also means, you know, putting others before yourself, and you have to be able to listen and also follow others. You know, but David is just the same as us. You know, he had to grow and learn and change in order to become the leader that God knew he could be. And, you know, the question is, are we willing and able to let the Lord do the same thing in our lives? And that's all. Thank you. Huh? Oh. Okay.